Me, Myself, and I, Winning the War Within, by Laverne Farmer. Preface. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Romans 8:7. As a child, I was taught about sin, temptation, holiness, and becoming born again. Decades later, I realized there was a disconnect between my human nature and the transformative power of the Holy Ghost. I can remember growing up singing with great enthusiasm, "Things I used to do, I don't do no more." And mostly, that was true. But as a young adult, I went through a phase of doing things I had never done before. Enticed with curiosity, this church girl began disco dancing at clubs, experimenting with alcohol, and dating non-believers. The seduction soon revealed to be overrated. No matter how I tried to do my thing, on Sunday morning, I needed to go to church. I felt condemned for my actions and knew my only option was to seek God and repent. As I've matured in Christ, I'd experienced more challenging character transformations. I frequently grappled with the question of why I had to be the one who needed to change instead of others. In 2008, the Holy Ghost influenced me to reread the book of Romans and to commit to memory the 8th chapter. Upon memorizing the 7th verse, I experienced a profound, life-altering moment. The burden was removed and the weight lifted. Now I could identify the victim and the villain. They were one and the same. Me. Sometimes my spirit man won battles, and times when the natural man proclaimed victor. Inconsistency left me in a constant combat of war, ebbs and flow, wins and losses. I was the target of self-created trade winds, tossed to and fro, intoxicated by the wins and devastated by the losses. As I've grown, I've learned things work out better when trusting God. I want everyone to know God never loses, and the plan He has for our lives is to win. We are granted the privilege of breaking free from the relentless, vicious cycles of self-defeatism and living in the winner's circle. Writing this book, I hope to share the grace of God that helps identify foremost the war within. It's daunting to comprehend that our human nature is diametrically opposed to doing the will of God. The power of the Holy Ghost equips us to subdue tunnel vision and the limited scope of our emotional wants and desires. This faith experience is an interactive excursion to see our lives through the Word of God. The outcomes are a pre-planned win. The journey is costly, but the end results are priceless. At the end of each chapter, there is an arsenal of devotional scripture references that daily inspired and enhanced Bible meditation. These are scriptures that strengthened and helped me to focus on my faith. Visit our website, www.motherhoodevangelisms.org, and join our email list to become a subscriber. You will receive the Me, Myself, and I Winning the War Within journal and gain exclusive access to in-depth study and live streaming podcasts. These resources explain why these specific scriptures are used to target fears and focus on faith. Remember, no matter what it looks like, we are winners, we are winning, and we win. Celebrate the win. Introduction. All's fair in love and war, connoting nothing is too extreme when going after love or making war with adversaries. Such dangerous philosophy is the trappings of desperately ill-advised self-motivations. All's fair is a far too encompassing justification for extreme behavior. As believers, we must remain cognizant of the scripture that teaches us, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." Proverbs 28:26. Our culture capitalizes on exploiting attraction, competition, and opposing opinions. It turns wants and fears into false romances and imaginary enemies. Every attraction is not a potential love interest. Conversely, every contrasting view does not an enemy make. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17 and 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? As Christians, we have the ultimate forecasting indicators and quantified analysis through the Word of God. Obeying God leads to receiving God's promises. Knowing that our flesh is the stimulus behind our battles of misconceptions is a mandate for the champion of the war within. The Word of God gives us strategies for using telescopic accuracy for differentiating the external from the internal. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4 and 12. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Galatians 5 and 17. As willing participants, the Holy Spirit equips us to win, not by our own intellect or ability, but by the grace and power of God. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 4 and 6. Our readiness to accept the Word of God as a guide is the start of gaining personal spiritual ground one battle at a time. God is our navigator. He knows our strengths and weaknesses, when to move forward and when to stand still. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Psalms 139 and 2. He created us, and God is familiar with everything about us, even the very decisions we will make before we make them. He plots out our every journey predicated upon the very anointing that He has placed upon our lives. We are not to allow ourselves to be captured by our thought bullies. Fight back. Because regardless of the attacks, our faults, and failures, through Christ, we win. Me, chapter 1, Winning the War Within. How in the world am I supposed to examine myself and identify how complicit I am with my self-sabotaging alter ego? There, I said it. Wow, that's a mouthful, but you know what? How do you deal with the daily struggle of sensory overload? Aromas evoke memories of previous cravings, appetites contending to serve as instant solace. There is a deluge of sights, sounds, and songs endeavoring to shroud the teachings of God, alluring me back into the traps of familiar worries and doubts. Why should I have to assume complete accountability for my issues when it's far simpler to shift the blame onto those around me? It could never be just me, or is it? I frequently heard remarks such as, "It takes two to argue," and "You can't fight alone." Nonsense. Some of the most damaging conflicts I've experienced were the ones where I was the sole participant. Just me, myself, and I. The struggle is real. To be reflective without falling victim to debilitating regret requires a supernatural mindset. Yes, you are responsible for the choices you make, but as a born-again believer, you can be confident that you are not alone on this spiritual journey. It is paramount that we understand that this human existence is to be directly guided by the Holy Ghost. Our moods, moves, and decision-making requires constant connection to our spiritual navigation system in the Word of God. Jesus tells us, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. John 15:4-6. The constant challenge for believers is to transform the Bible's teachings from mere head knowledge to a deeply ingrained part of our daily practices. We must expect the discomfort and dethroning of our natural man as par for the course, as spiritual growing pains for maturation through the Word of God. This will be quite painful. Disregarding your emotions and refusing to yield to physical fact will definitely leave a mark, a bruise, a cut, or sometimes all the above. Take solace from the truth that your flesh is throwing a tantrum. It wants to be accommodated and the center of your attention pacified and made to feel better. There will be instances when you can't quite pinpoint the reason behind your heightened irritability. A former letdown can be insidiously lurking, thwarting gratitude, striving to apprehend your bliss. Take courage. There is a word from the Lord for that. God is always speaking. Pause for a moment. Read your Bible. Rehearse a memory verse. Pray it. Sing and shout it over and over and over. Don't stop. The word of God is not a magic wand, but it is a sword. It will cut through and remove the innermost deep-rooted trauma bondage. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:10. Continue to surrender your will to God and exalt his word. The Holy Spirit will provide peace and resilience during moments of vexation and vulnerability. God's word can diagnose and heal your situation. We cannot expect to lead peaceful and productive lives outside of the direction of the Holy Ghost. Each one of us have a purpose, a plan that God has predetermined for our lives. We must be intentional. By meditating on God's word, we transform and overcome negative thoughts through the Holy Spirit. This form of training emulates a process of unlearning and relearning. Overcoming the teachings ingrained in us throughout our lifetime is a formidable task. Our lives are woven together by innumerable systemic programming, cemented in pleasure and reward preferences. As young children, we begin a journey of life hacks, how to achieve the wants and avoid the dislikes. I was technically the third child of four siblings, born a minute after my twin sister, sandwiched between an older and younger brother. I was born a month early in 1959 and had to stay in the neonatal intensive care unit and received several blood transfusions. Not expected to live, I made it home and was labeled the quiet, always staring twin. Psychology has shown that medical procedures can have an influence on a child's behavior and personality. All I know is out of the two of us, I was the least daring, the most cautious, and I hated getting into trouble. Growing up with my sister Lavette was like having a perpetual sleepover with your best friend. We lived in our own world with our own language. Except for a couple of pounds and an inch and a half or so, we were physically identical to the T. We weren't perfect little angels. We both vividly remember my sister getting a spanking that was meant for me. The most distinguishing part of our identity was our personalities. My sister was full of personality. Since a little girl, she could dance and mostly was the leader in our dynamic duo. I will never forget the earliest memory of my personal conflict with our personality differences. Music was playing and our parents were enjoying a get-together with some friends. My dad woke up my sister. I followed as he took her by the hand and told her to show them how well she could dance. My response was, "Look, Daddy, I can dance too." Well, not so much. This was a confusing moment for me. Here was someone I had always shared the spotlight with, now outshining me like a lighthouse. At four, I did not know how to process what I was feeling. I adored my sister, but that jealousy monster swung at me and landed a hard punch. Thank God our love bond won the fight. I did not want the way I felt about her to change. We were both sent back to bed, and sleeping next to my best friend felt the same. As long as we were besties, I was good. Our personalities continued to grow differently. My sister got her attention from being the extrovert. I got my attention from being the introvert. Livette was spontaneous. She never met strangers, and when she entered, she would light up a room. I watched her interactions with others, and she became my personal friend maker. I would try to follow many of her leads that received a reward of affirmation and avoided her mistakes like a plague. I hated spankings, and I learned how to get the approval of my parents by being Miss Goody Two-Shoes. It took me decades, literally a half a century, to realize that I had become extremely performative and secretly self-righteous. Finding such success in this behavior made me very opinionated and self-willed. This was heartbreaking for me to learn and even more difficult to unlearn. Thank God for the all things are possible transformative power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will shatter that ego and send those self-righteousness and man-pleasing ways packing. Praise God for not leaving us empty. He repairs, replaces, and regenerates our lives with His healing will. Taking heed of God's instruction equips us to acknowledge our personality strengths and weaknesses. The Holy Spirit will change your playlist from the endless playground finger-pointing chant, "Who, me? Yes, you. Couldn't be. Then who?" to "It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer." Contrary to widespread belief, acknowledging one's mistakes is not catastrophic. Instead, it's a pivotal aspect of God's journey to reshape our hearts, transitioning them from the patterns of this world to the principles of His kingdom.